God bless you, dear brethren. We are here again with Brother Joseph. God bless you, Brother Joseph.
God bless you.
Brother Joseph, I have a few questions today about a subject that's been on the hearts of many brethren that have contacted us lately. Because of the impending problems that are arising in the West, in the US and in Europe, because of the impending wars, because of the persecutions against the Christians that's rising more and more, many brethren are getting in touch with us from Europe, from the USA, and are asking us counsels how to go about this. They're thinking to move out of the West because of the problems that are arising out of the West and out of the US. And I know you, Joseph, have been a missionary for about 40 years, and you have lots of experience in serving the Lord in different countries, in leaving a place, settling in another place. So I would like to ask you, what's your counsel you want to give to these brethren that are thinking, because of the impending problems that are arising, they're thinking to leave the USA and the West. What's your counsel for them?
Amen. Praise God. It's really true, and it's good to move out. I did move out from the West. Well, my counsel is, first of all, ask the Lord's counsel. Who am I to say what you should do? What's good for one is not good for the other, so you need to ask the Lord. So you have to seek the Lord, seek his face, seek his will, get on your knees, get on your face down, cry up to God for guidance, take a walk under the stars, wander the rain, whatever. Go to a park if you have a park, or go to a desert place and seek God's face, God's will. Seek and seek and seek. Matthew 7 in the New Living Translation says, ask and keep asking, and the Amplified Bible, seek and keep seeking, and knock and keep knocking. So you have to keep seeking until you find God's will, because then you have to stand up for it and be willing to die. All right? So don't stop seeking God's will until you know for sure. Then write it down, and then make sure the devil doesn't change it. Amen. So ask God if you're supposed to leave the country where you are, change city, change area, change whatever, change nation, country, continent, I don't know. In my case, I was in Europe, where we come from Europe, we come from different nations of Europe, and our team here, we're a small missionary team. And, well, the Lord told us to move out of the country. We were in Eastern Europe. We were evangelized for 20 years in Eastern Europe. The Lord told us he as soon as going to be hell on earth. There's going to be war, persecution, mark of the beast, antichrist. So I said, Lord, where do we go? Shall we change city? Say more. Nation? More. Continent? Yes. So anyway, at the end of the story, the Lord showed us to get out of Europe and to come to South America, which the Lord showed us it's a place of refuge for the end time. Of course, you need to know what you're doing. So each one has to choose his place where they should go.
I want to ask you, though, I remember when, as we were preparing to leave Europe, there were some people around us criticizing, saying, now that the bad things and the troubles are coming, you're just taking off? I mean, isn't just that being a coward? I want to ask you the same question. Isn't it being a coward, leaving?
Well, not really. Anybody wants to follow, they can follow. It's not that you have to stay in a place forever.
No, but these people were accusing us we were cowards because we are leaving because of the problems that are coming. Is it being a coward that you want to leave a place because problems are mounting up?
Well, these people were wrong, because I was in Eastern Europe for 20 years evangelizing, and so I was there 20 years preaching the message, so really. But just there comes a time when it's like the woman flying to the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God.
Yeah, but shouldn't you rather stay put there and help your brethren around instead of leaving?
Well, I won't be able to help much in the flesh. The way I can help is by preaching the gospel and tell them what to do in the spirit. Okay, so the way to help is like Jesus was not staying put in every city he went. He would go to a city, then move to the next, until finally moved to heaven. Is he a coward? He went to heaven? No, is the Holy Spirit supposed to be with us? The Holy Spirit is supposed to stay with the brethren. Is the Holy Spirit omnipresent? I'm not. I can reach more people now through YouTube or through the radio and different ways like this than staying in a place and ministering to a few people every day. No, this is not correct. So we need to keep moving to find God's will, God's place. And then there comes a time when You know, like even the early church, the early church went into the catacomb, they went into hiding, off and on. Understand? See, the early Christians were hiding in the catacombs. And yeah, there will come a time just once in your life when you have to die as a martyr. But except for that, you're supposed to preach and run, preach and hide, preach and go somewhere else. And then it's the word that you sow in people's heart that remains. And the word will tell people what to do by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Our physical presence doesn't do anything. Paul was not present physically for too long in any place. And then the word which is sowed in their hearts continues. Every Christian has to decide what area the Lord wants where the refuge is going to be, whether it's in their own country where they are or in a different place.
Okay, before you get into that, so just to understand, so it's not a coward to leave, you're saying. It is basically to operate better for the Lord and do more for the Lord. That's why.
No, but that's ridiculous to say that, because was Jesus a coward? He moved around. Ridiculous. In fact, he made it difficult for people to follow him. In Luke 14:26, he says, "He that comes after me doesn't hate father, mother, family, and everything. And everybody else cannot be my disciple." Anything that stops you from following Jesus, you have to hate it. Jesus said, Luke 14:33, "He that forsakes not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." He made it difficult for people to stay with him. In John 6, you have to be with him. They have to eat his flesh and drink his blood, of course, spiritually, but he didn't understand. He didn't do much to help them understand. So everybody took off except the 12. So it's like, no, he was not a coward. No, he wasn't. It's just people have to follow the Holy Spirit, okay?
Amen. Amen. So the dear brethren that want to leave America or the West, you're saying it is good because they can do better for the Lord. In other words, they are not cowards. So be encouraged, brethren. God bless you.
But the life of a missionary, the life of a disciple, if you look through the Bible, just read Hebrews 11, read Matthew chapter 10. The life of a true man of God is moving around. Why should you stay in a place preaching to the same people every Sunday, every week, all the time? Why should you give millions of words to a few instead of giving a few words to millions? Mm-hmm. So just to preach the same gospel, people have heard already for 5-10 years. Okay, well, I was not doing that. I was going 20 years in Eastern Europe. I was a missionary every day, different street, different house. They invited me to churches to preach too. But I was telling the churches, get out of this building and reach the lost. And don't Amen. Keep preaching to the walls, to people Amen. Already heard.
Amen. You're mentioning something earlier about you're organizing a camp. In fact, I want to ask you, for these dear brethren who do want to leave America and Europe, what's your practical counsel about it? And you are saying something about a camp. Can you develop that?
Yeah, we are organizing a camp here in South America. Anybody wants to come here, feels called to come here. Maybe you feel called to go to Asia, Africa, I don't know. But anybody feels called to come over here, we are organizing a place where the Christian can come down here and we can help them all we can. We don't give them money, of course, we don't have. We live by donation, we pass the hat. But they can come over here and we can help them with counsel. Okay, just make sure that before coming, you don't fall into the trap of some gospel prosperity preachers that they take all your money, your tithes away, give you nothing. Okay, and then you don't even have the money to travel. Don't give your tithes and your money to gospel prosperity preachers, which is just that most of them, they're just wolves. They just want to suck your money and give you sermons instead, so they can buy a villa with swimming pool, etc. Listen, keep your money to use for God's work. You will need your money for traveling. You need it for God's work wherever you go. All right, and so we're organizing a camp. So sell
practically, what does it mean?
Well, sell everything that you have. That is, if you're called. Okay, if you're called. Of course, unless you get a supernatural revelation to stay in America or Europe, don't stay. Go somewhere else. Because those places, America is Babylon of Revelation 17, 18, which shall be destroyed. Europe is the place where the 10 nations are going to rise to support the Antichrist. All right, in Daniel chapter 7 and 8, it shows that Europe, there's going to be 10 nations, the so-called 10 horns, which will unite, they give power to the beast. Okay, that's Revelation 17, Revelation chapter 13 and 17. It's a beast who will receive the power from 10 horns, which are 10 kings, 10 nations, And that place is Europe. Daniel chapter 7, it said the fourth beast representing Europe. That is like just about all the Bible scholars agree. The fourth beast of Daniel 7 is Europe. This beast has 10 horns, which says there are 10 kings. This will give power to the beast. Revelation 17, power to the beast. So Europe is the place where the Antichrist is going to rise. So America and Europe, that is North America, is the worst place in the world to be. Because in America already, they're making a law. I have a video on YouTube about 2013 March. The RFID, the microchip is coming. So those places are terrible. And then if you feel called to come in this area of the world, well, we are here, and the Lord told us to organize a camp. All right.
What does it mean, a camp? Like everybody living everybody with everybody? Or I don't understand. Like a camping?
It can be a place where the different families, different Christians can help each other. It's based on the Bible, the way that Jesus taught the early church to organize places. Like in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45, they were helping each other, sharing the money and everything. So we're organizing a camp here where if you feel called to come over here, you can come over here, you can cooperate with other families, you organize yourself. We'll help you with counsel. Like I've done this for 40 years, I'm a missionary. And we're still doing it in our team. So anybody else who wants to do the same, but it's not my invention, it's straight in the Bible. I'm not the only guy doing it in the world, there are other people who do it. So it's a matter of sharing efforts, talents, like somebody takes care of the children, somebody else has money, somebody else has food, somebody else works. So like a big family, they start working together, putting the money together. Okay, this can be done whatever level one chooses to do it. Like in Matthew 13, verse 8 and 13, Jesus talks about the parable of the sower. Like the good seeds brings fruit, the good seeds, 160%, 100%, 30%, etc. So you decide what degree of cooperation you want to cooperate with the brethren. If you want to put together all your food, your money and everything, I'm talking about bona fide brethren here. Don't be careful of wolves, gospel of prosperity. Be careful of preachers who just take your money for the glory of God and it ends up in their pocket for their new house, new car. Okay, be careful of those guys. Okay, keep your money and minister the way God shows you for his glory. Okay, you don't have to give it to me or to anybody else. You guys administer it any way you want it. Make sure the devil doesn't steal it to you. Doesn't steal it from you in the name of God, quotes, so that you don't have it when you need it. So you will have to cooperate with these brethren at a level that you choose. So you can do the way we do, we go in a place, we rent a house, okay, and we share. I'm here with my wife and six children, and I have other brethren. Sisters and brothers, you're one of the sisters, obviously. And we share our money, we share our food. Like you've been with us for many years now.
17 years.
Okay, 17 years, you can tell people how we share our money, we share our food. It's like I'm not in charge of finances, somebody else is.
And the beauty is that we all help each other with the talents we have. Like somebody is good with the kids, helps with everybody else's children. Somebody is good in better in evangelizing. We all evangelize, but it's like we balance each other with the talents. Like we all pitch in with what is needed, and it's really working like a community, but not a community of rules or cold, but of love, and really helping each other. One is lacking with something, the other supplies.
Right. Of course, we have rules, but they are Bible rules.
Yeah, it's not a system called rules. It's
exactly.
Bible rules.
It's not organization, a racket, collecting money, not at all. It's we share what we have, whatever much or little we have. But the Lord, all my years of serving the Lord, I never lacked money, I never lacked food, I never had too much, but never had too little. And the Lord is faithful and provides. We share and praise the Lord. So that's
one level, yeah. But you're talking about different levels.
Yeah, anybody needs help, the Lord showed us to give a hand to the brethren, to put our know-how and experience and counsel, word knowledge, through the years, experience we accumulated to help the brethren who don't have this, mm-hmm. All right? So we told you the step. Number one, ask the Lord if you should move. Number two, don't let the gospel of prosperity wolves steal your money. You'll need it for traveling and setting yourself up when you arrive. And then you decide if you want to work.
And then you're saying about good brethren also.
Yeah, yeah, make sure they're true brethren, because there are brethren who are just brethren when it's time to sit in a church, just warm up a bench and sing hallelujah, hallelujah. But when the weather changes, it rains or whatever, and they have to go beyond passive prayers and empty ritualism, they will not raise a finger. So as long as religion is just doing nothing and singing hallelujah, everything is fine. I mean, anybody, any false religion can do that. But when it comes to suffer for Jesus, work for Jesus, share your money with a brother who has less, when it comes to share the food, go evangelize, reach the lost, those guys disappear like snow in the sand. They're just nowhere to be found. They just basically they're like the Pharisees and the religions of Jesus' days, okay? So you need to look for the true brothers. There are true brethren in just about almost every church, as well as Judases and false brethren. So how do you know which is a true brother? Well, you have to test them. You know, go evangelizing the Lord together, share your money together, work together. Okay, that's how you test. All right. So this brethren, anybody feels called to call to come over here, we have been called by the Lord to help you. Again, you don't have to give us your money, and we cannot give us our money. We have little, but we can give you everything else. We can help you set up, find a house, find a place, to teach you what to do, what not to do. Then you have to decide if you want to live nearby some other brethren where you can help, a fellowship together and help each other, also for protection. Or if you prefer to rent a big house, the green with a big yard where the children can run around and everybody like a big community, a big hotel, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But nobody, like everybody helps. A guy is very good with food, he can cook. Another guy is good with whatever to generate money. He can go generate money somehow, selling things or what we do, we distribute gospel material, CD, DVD, literature, and we pass the hat for a voluntary donation. That money goes into the community, gets shared, as long as everybody works. But it's not a quote everybody has to give so much money. Everybody gives whatever they can, full heart. Like a few dear sisters can take care of everybody's children, and some dear brothers, whatever, who has talent with children, they work, help the children. Other can work in the kitchen. Others can go around and do different work to make money. And then bring everything together. So like somebody looks after everybody, your children, somebody else bring their money, somebody else do the cook, and everybody's like a big convent, understand? But not a religious convent, okay? A place where it's a house. Acts 2:44 and 45.
Study it carefully, brethren.
Yeah. Let me read it to you. Acts chapter 2. This was the foundation of the early church, by the way.
Amen.
Okay. What is it? Here it is. Acts 2:44 and 45. And it says, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. In 2 Corinthians 8, it says that your abundance will supply the need of another. Okay, so the brother who has more should give to one who has less, so that all have the same. 2 Corinthians 8. And that's it, but it's all based on love. It's a voluntary thing. Nobody makes you. You don't have to. Okay, it's not mandatory like certain religions you have to. It's up to you if you want to give. It's voluntary. I mean, you can give nothing if you want. Of course, the Lord will not bless you much because you're selfish, but nobody's going to force you. And so that's about it. You have any questions?
So you're saying there are different levels that the brethren can pray and see. One, it's this, a community all together in a big house. And then you're talking about another level?
Yeah, different level. Like you can have your own apartment, your own house, and run it any way you want, spiritually, financially. No, but there's no archbishop or bishop or nothing, or big pastor that everybody has to do. It's a voluntary cooperation. Of course, there are spiritual leaders. One has the talent to teach the Bible, another has the talent to play the guitar, The other has the talent to cook. The other has the talent for business. The other has the talent to generate money. The other has the talent to fix cars, etc., etc.
So you're saying even though maybe some brethren decide to live in separate houses, they can still cooperate and work together as a brethren and community.
Yeah, and they when they get together, they decide. The talents creates the leaders. It's not like today that because some Pharisees. Some self-righteous Pharisee goes to a seminary, gets a diploma, automatically is the pastor. It's not like that. I mean, the talents make the leaders. I mean, Paul was one of the best apostles, and Peter and the other, not because they went to seminary or to a seminary. They were leaders because they had talents. Okay, Paul was the leader of pioneering establishing churches, not because he went to sit down or warm up a bench in a seminary and got a diploma for that, because he had the fruits. He generated churches, okay? And that's it. I mean, it's very simple. Like, you can have your own apartment. You can have your own house. You can do whatever you want. Nobody's going to come and tell you what to do. And then it's up to you if you want to cooperate with the next house next to you and a fellowship 2-3 times a week, every day, etc. So you can, like it says in Matthew 13:8, it says that the good seeds bring 100%, 60%, 30%. You decide what level you want to cooperate. In our mission, we are 100%. We share all our money, all our food. We somebody needs clothes, we share our clothes. I have 6 children. Everybody is helping. Somebody is teaching the children. I'm teaching the Bible, but I'm not the bishop, archbishop, or the big pastor. No, the pastor is Jesus.
Amen.
But the only authority anybody has is from the Bible. Mm-hmm. We don't care about this man's organizations because somebody has a piece of paper on the wall that says diploma, he has to tell everybody what to do. And maybe the guy is a selfish mercenary. You know, like that. Like the brethren get together and they decide, okay, you are in charge of the kitchen. You are in charge of teaching the Bible. He's in charge of teaching the Bible, not because he went to seminary, but because everybody is saying, wow, that guy is really teaching the Bible lovingly, and he's teaching how to evangelize, how to rebuke the devil, out of authority over demons. He knows how to do healing. He's teaching about miraculous healing. He's teaching about the deliverance. And the guy definitely is the Bible teacher. No. That doesn't mean he gets a salary. No. You know, the salary for the pastor is an invention that came after the church collapsed. But in the beginning of the church, the pastor didn't get any salary. That's a mercenary strat, a mercenary habit. Okay, if you go to Acts chapter 20, Paul says to the church of Ephesus, I think it was Ephesus, he said, you know very well that I didn't covet, I didn't desire anybody money. My own hands provided my needs, and for them who were together with me. Paul was working to support himself for a time. And when he couldn't work, he would pass in the hat. That's exactly what I do. Sometimes my heart comes back empty. So that's life. That doesn't mean you don't love the people you witness to because your heart is empty. Maybe that means your sermon was also empty. Mm-hmm. You understand? Yeah. It's very simple. So, and then if you guys, anybody, so we'll, like if you want to have your own apartment, your children, your wife, and then we will suggest you go near an area with some other brethren who have the same vision. If you want to live the way I do with my wife and my brethren here, okay, we are 13 right now. It's a small team. And then you take a house, and you can be 13, 12, 13, 15, 20, 25. Okay, I remember when I was in India, I was in a house of about 100 missionaries. The same story, the same principle. We were sharing food, money, everything. Somebody's taking care of the children, school, etc. Okay, so if you want to have your own apartment and be independent, you can cooperate with other apartments where you guys get together a few times a week. If you want to do like we do, then rent a big house, a big yard with trees and everything, which there are many in this area. And the new are very expensive. They're pretty cheap too. Okay, there are rents that start from what?
$400-$500.
Even less, right? For about $400-$500, you can find a house with trees, a yard. Huge, beautiful. So you can take that and share with another, with a couple of families if you want, or 3 families, or 4 families, whatever. And then you cook together, you sing together, you praise the Lord together. They take a washing machine, it's for everybody. It's a cooking stove for everybody. Ping pong table, it's for everybody. You have a little swimming pool, it's for everybody, etc. And the children are happy. They can play around. My children, I teach them, I do homeschool. Okay, but I don't teach them too much. I teach them the basic. Soon as going to come the mark of the beast, you won't need many diplomas, believe me. You know, I just teach them to the basic. My children, they'll study, I don't know, 10 years, some 10 years of school, that's all you need. Then after that, you need to study how to go hide because the mark of the beast is coming. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Practically, then, how should they leave the States and Europe? Like, well, just pick up and go, or what should they do?
running through the window.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Well, I hope they understand that they have to ask the Lord first, okay? It's not because I'm saying I got out of Europe, everybody has to get out. You have to ask the Lord. You know, you should seek God's will until you're willing to die for it. Otherwise, the devil is going to stop you. So after you find God's will, let's say, for example, you want to go to Asia or Africa. Let's say, for example, you have to come over here in South America, then we'll help you because we're here. And, well, they can then need to sell everything, but quick. Don't try to sell every pair of socks, every second-hand underwear. Or
I want to give a testimony. You know, we had to move from one place to another. And the Lord actually sent somebody to buy everything we had,
right,
because we were willing to give it at half a price. We weren't trying to pull a bunch of money.
Yeah.
You know, we gave everything at half a price. And miraculously, the Lord sent somebody to buy everything we had to sell.
Yeah, it was the leader of a church. We went there. We did a gospel theater. And he liked everything. So we found and said, we're moving. You want everything half a price? Well, actually, he came and he bought everything for half a price. Was very good for him, half a price. And was very good for us that we didn't have time to sell. So that was great,
yeah.
But using the money for the trip. Nice. So anyway, we suggest sell whatever you can, as much as you can. Just sell quick. Try to sell everything in bulk and tell them, look, we sell everything for half a price, and then you can sell it one by one and make money on top of it, given the vision. And then whatever you cannot sell, well, give it to some needy missionary, some gospel work mission, and give it to as a gift, and Lord will bless you. So, just hurry up, set a limit, you know, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, months, whatever. Either don't stay there forever because you have to make money and every little rinky-dinky thing you have to
Amen.
Sell.
And trust the Lord.
Just get out. And then don't worry. When you arrive to the field of your choice, God is going to provide
Amen.
For you. So in Revelation 12, it talks about the woman who's protected in the wilderness. Revelation 12, verse 6 and 14. There is a woman there, which of course represents a different symbolism. Represents Eve, deceived by the serpent, represents Mary, mother of Jesus, gave birth to Jesus. He represents the bride of Christ, Revelation 19:7-9, bride of Christ, and represents also the protected church, the bride of Christ, in the great tribulation, in the end time, because it gives a specific time, 1,260 days. That's the 42 months of the rule of the Antichrist. You can see Revelation 13, verse 5. It's 42 months. Okay, so this woman, which is the bride of Christ, is the part of the church which is the bride of Christ. Because not all the church is the bride of Christ, okay? Because not all the virgin have oil. Some virgin have oil, some virgin don't have oil, okay? You see that in Matthew 25. The virgin without the virgin waiting for the bridegroom, that's Christians, but they don't have oil, so they don't enter the marriage chamber, okay? And then there are virgin with oil, that's the church, the bride of Christ, who listens, who seeks God's will, who does God's will, who obeys. God cannot protect a church who doesn't obey. He says, hey, go over there. She says, no, I don't go. Go evangelize. No, I want to stay here, warm up a church bench every Sunday morning. And like a church like this, God cannot protect. He says, hey, move. He says, no, I don't want to move because this church building is too comfortable. So good night, stay there and die. Die like the Christian died in Russia when Lenin took over. Die like the Jews died in Auschwitz and in Germany when Hitler took over. So the only church that God can protect, the church that when God says go, they go. When God says stop, they stop. A church that obey. Okay. So if we are obedient, okay, like it says in Isaiah, I think it's 1:19-20. If you are obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So God is telling his people, the Jews, if you obey, you shall eat the good of the land. If you don't obey, you shall be destroyed. So the Christian now who listen to God and obey shall be protected. Because it is through obedience that the you can go to the place of protections. In whatever new catacomb the Holy Spirit will lead you to. through obedience. But God says, go to such a place. You say, no, because my false prophet, prosperity, told me, if I give him money, God will protect me. So be careful, because that's not scripture, okay? Tell these wolves of prosperity to go work and make their own money, and not to siphon money from the people sitting on the benches doing nothing, okay? So it's like these prosperity wolves, they made Christianity like a lottery. Give me money, give me one, you'll get 100. It's a lottery. I mean, only the mafia can multiply money one by 100 by doing nothing. If you want God to give you, multiply your money by one to 100, you better go witness. You better need it for the gospel. I mean, how many of these guys who multiply money, that is really the blessing of God and not the blessing of the devil? Then God is not going to multiply your money if you do nothing for the gospel, if you don't preach the gospel to lost souls. So if you multiply the money, it's because you're a selfish capitalist exploiting others, as simple as that. So praise God. What else can I say?
I mean, that's about Lord, help us to be the bride, to be the obedient one. Amen.
Amen. So be the bride, be the virgin with oil, Matthew 25, and then you'll be protected, like it says in Revelation 12:6-14. But if you are the virgin without oil, if you are the Laodicea church, if you are the mainstream sleepy church that just serves the world 6 days a week, and God just sitting on a bench, well, you'll be destroyed. It says that in Revelation 12, verse 17. It says the dragon, because he couldn't destroy the woman, protected, okay, verse 14, then he goes to verse 17, attacks the rest of the seed of the woman. The seed is Christ, okay? The rest of Christianity, and attacks them. Does he destroy them? Yes. What does it say? Next chapter, Revelation 13, 7. The beast, the Christ, overcomes the saints. You can verify this in Matthew, Jesus said in Matthew 24, from 3 until 14, from 3 until 22, the Christian will be persecuted and destroyed. You can see this in Daniel when he talks about the Antichrist, the place in the abomination, desolations, Daniel 11, 31 until 35. God's people destroyed, most of them, etc. So if you don't want to be destroyed, you better follow Jesus. Our protection is Jesus Christ. Okay, it's not your money, it's not your church building, it's not your religion, it's not your prosperity wolves, it's not your protection is Jesus Christ, obedience to the word. And when God says stay, you stay. When he says go, you go. When God shows you to sell everything, you sell everything. I mean, when God told Joseph and Mary, say, get out of this hell here, get out of this place. They moved immediately, okay? God provided some gold. He sent the three wise men with the frankincense, myrrh, and gold. They took the gold. They financed the trip to Egypt. He probably opened a carpentry shop in Egypt, probably. And it was there until Herod died. So in this time, that's all the prosperity gave them. Take off. Run. You can see in at the end of John chapter 8, Jesus was hiding. And they say, you have to hide. It's time to run and hide. So be ready to move. Be ready to go. Be ready to obey. Okay. But Amen. If you come over here, we will help you all we can. Okay. Amen. Like Paul in Acts chapter 20, he was proud to say, I desire not your apparel. I desire not your money. I work with my hands. The same here. We don't desire your stuff. We just want to help you. Okay. Amen. So the Lord shows you to come over here. Come. We'll help you. We'll set you up in a cooperation with other brethren, all right? And where you are, we can have fellowship, Bible, and we'll teach you witnessing if you want to witness. We teach you soul winning if you want to win souls, all right? And we praise the Lord together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have children, we'll help you to cooperate. There'll be family with children. You can cooperate to family with the other. Okay, and that's it. It's a new day of age. The catacombs of today, they're not tunnels under the ground, but they are tunnels in the spirit, like hiding in open sight. We'll be hiding in front of everybody, you understand? You see in Revelation 12, 6 and 14, it says the woman fled into the wilderness. He's talking about the spiritual wilderness, away from the main street, dead, sleepy Christianity, away from the common places, away from religion, in the wilderness, spiritual wilderness. You understand? Amen. That's where you hide today. Amen. Amen. And if you get ready, because it's coming. It's already come. It came for the sleepy Christian in China when Mao Zedong took over and killed them, most of them. He came for those sleepy Christians in Russia when Lenin took over and destroyed just about almost all of them. He came to those sleepy Jews in Germany. Hitler came and destroyed them, almost all of them, with the Auschwitz. In America, they're preparing preparing the modern Auschwitz. They call them, I think, FEMA camps. They have trains with shackles, and they're talking about, they have guillotines. They have they discovered the mountains of coffins. It's on YouTube. Okay, I took a look. I said, oh, gosh, look at this. The new Auschwitz already being prepared. Millions of coffins piled up. And they are FEMA camps prepared with barbed wire, with gas chambers. I mean, the devil, the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the devil is preparing a huge Holocaust. You understand? Prophesied, Matthew 24, Daniel 11, 31 up, Revelation chapter 13, Revelation 12, verse 17, is prophesied. It's stupid to pray and say, oh, let's pray that the Christ doesn't come, the devil doesn't come, persecution, tribulation doesn't come. It's silly. What a silly prayer. It's prophesied. It's prophesied there was going to be an apostasy in the end time. 2 Thessalonians 2, the rise of the Antichrist who sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. It comes after the scripture before where he says there will come an apostasy, a great falling away. Falling away is the Greek word apostasy, what it means. Falling away from the faith, which we are now exactly in the middle. Now, the devil's preachers, so-called Christian gospel prosperities, that keeping the church asleep and they're just collecting money all the time. Tell you that's a deceit of the devil. Keep the money, use it for God to reach lost souls. Don't give it to greedy preachers. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Man, I just want to say thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us to be the bride, to obey, to listen, so he can protect us. In Jesus' name.
All right. So God bless you. And you don't need much money. Don't worry. God is our protector. I mean, it has been prophesied that in the end time, the Christians, we're going to live together in some places by hundreds, some places by in the woods, even by the thousands. And it's been prophesied that the food was going to appear in the pots. Do you understand? You don't believe it? Then you're not a Christian. You don't believe the Bible. God made the man appear. He made the meat fall down, the quails. He made the Red Sea open up. He sent ravens to feed Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17. The ravens were coming twice a day, bringing meat and bread. It was a barbecue every day. Again. Meat and bread every day. And then when the was a brook cherub dried up, God told Elijah, go to Sarepta, there is a widow there. I commanded her to take care of you. He went there, and for 3.5 years of the East Tribulation, East 3.5 years, he had flour and oil sufficient for him and her and her son.
Amen.
Okay,
you,
God.
Amen.
Will provide for us. Amen. Like is prophesied in Revelation 12, 6 and 14. The woman fled into the wilderness, the church fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they, God's angel, shall feed her there 1,260 days. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
God bless
Amen.
You. Send some news over here. Let us know who you are, how you are. And what the Lord is showing you, we love you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. In the meanwhile, whatever you decide to do, keep busy. Witnessing, evangelizing, don't go to sleep. Don't go get out of those religious buildings where they have a padded chair to sleep better. Every day, wherever you bump into, tell them about the salvation of Jesus. And if you do that, blessings upon you. If you do that, God will bless you. If you do that, he will open a way in the wilderness. Do you understand? Praise God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, and I hope to soon see some of you guys. I love you. Praise God. Amen and amen.
Amen.
This
we love you.
This is Brother Joseph, together with my wife, Deborah. We send you lots of love. And this is...
I'm Dora. God bless you.
Okay. So we all send our love in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.